Welcome to the Red Rain Podcast. Here is your host from Revenge of the Birds, Walter Mitchell.
Thank you, Kyle Little Rock Ledbetter. So happy to be celebrating yesterday's beautiful come-from-behind 25-23 win over the Falcons in Kyler Murray's return to action, which deserves all kinds of kudos and acknowledgments, which I will try to provide during the course of this show. Kudos to be handed out to players in all three phases of the Cardinals' efforts yesterday. And so I want to do everyone, give everyone their justice for what we saw. Just can't recall a win that was this exciting in recent memory for a number of reasons. The fact that the Cardinals finished is a breakthrough. Come close on so many games and squandered leads in close games, and we're knocking at the door, but weren't able to open it and rush in the way the Cardinals were able to do yesterday in epic comeback fashion, led by Kyler Murray, who in the first place, I mean, major kudos to Kyler Murray for doing all the right things to get back onto the field. I mean, many of us, I know myself included, I wouldn't have minded if he decided to take the whole year. I would have understood that. So I think it's highly admirable of him to come back into a situation where the team was 1-8 and struggling, and give this team a much needed boost and a reminder of where this organization is headed as it tries to climb out of the NFL doldrums. And the energy that he brought to the building yesterday, to his level of play, was infectious. The team played a tough physical game. It was by no means perfect, and there were things to learn from it, but there's no better scenario than to learn from winning a game when you can go back and look at some of the things that were left out there, which is one of the feelings of high praise I want to bestow on Kyler, was that after the game, Kyler was, in addressing the team, spoke about how, you know, there were a lot of plays left out there that could have made the game, could have taken care of the game earlier. And his acknowledgement of that, I think, is especially mature from him. How he acknowledged, too, that at first he was frustrated with Trey McBride for continuing to run on a dig route off of that direct snap play action pass that is a part of Kyler's game that he's just trying to add to his repertoire within the new confines of, well, the confines of a new offense. And, he may have gotten a little antsy on that play, but he recognized later, I mean, he did sort of, after he made the tackle, I was thinking, going back to Kyler's Pop Warner days, this kid could tackle. I mean, he was a, linebacker in Pop Warner, and a downhill linebacker making tackles. And man, what a tackle. It reminded us of the great tackle he made earlier in his career on the sidelines following an interception, and how he just body cut the ball carrier. Under those circumstances, for him to hit like that and to react like that under adversity was very commendable. And I just found myself saying, Maybe Kyler should give some tackling lessons to some of our defenders who have not yet mastered the techniques, particularly on that side of the field, where we've had difficulty tackling in the past. So, but for Kyler to acknowledge that, then after the fact realize, hey, you know what? We really hadn't worked through that in practice, and I can't blame Trey McBride for continuing to run when I thought he should have settled down. And in retrospect, next time maybe you do settle down into that situation, and they'll do something to iron that out. But boy, oh boy, that was the one target that that Trey McBride missed. He was made 8 catches on 9 targets for 131 yards, 16.4 average. Made the great adjustment catch on the really beautifully thrown high pass that Kyler threw up there to him with the game on the line. Trey said later he had asked Kyler for that opportunity. He felt he was beating his man well enough for it to come to fruition. And boy, oh boy, what a play. And how the Cardinals handled it in the goal line situation and not in running out the clock was textbook. I mean, James Conner, kudos to him. They were going to let him score. He just, took a knee on two occasions. Matt Prater, who was 4 for 4 field goals in the game, including a 56 yarder. And 1 for 1 for extra points, nailed it. And it was a walk-off thing of beauty for the Cardinals in a game won at home. It hasn't happened too often in recent last couple of years. And for Kyler to be 1-0 at home this year, he'd only been able to win one home game last year. And then, hadn't won a home game the previous year until, since the Texans game that made the Cardinals 7-0. Reversing that curse of sorts, and doing this at home amidst a really loud and energetic Red Sea, it's great to see. The red rain showered down on those fans and on Kyler and the players and coaches.
That sounds
And so that.
incredible to have two home wins in over 2 calendar years. That seems almost impossible.
Right. And a number of those games, Cardinals were favored in at home and, were just like they just couldn't finish those games, like the Colts game on Christmas. Like the Chargers game last year, where they played so great for 3 quarters and then got beat on a 2-point conversion at the end of the game. There are numerous examples, like the Seahawks game getting blown out in week 17, with a chance to clinch the NFC West and get a higher playoff seed. It was just. And it was not all on Kyler by any stretch of the imagination, but there were shortcomings on a number of in all three phases during those tough close game losses, and you just couldn't seem to break through. On the flip side, they're still winning on the road, which was good back in 2021. So. And Kyler won a big game on the road versus the Cowboys late that year. I think that game was 25-23, as a matter of fact. But the way Kyler, comported himself in this game, the way he played with just, you would never know, ever know that he was coming back from such a devastating knee injury and such a long rehab. But as the coaches have been saying, Kyler had been doing everything right. And yesterday was living proof in vivid color. of that fact. He had been doing everything right. And I think that in the process, because of the work he put in and the dedication he gave to the team, and the added time in the facility to bond with players, I think it's fair to say that, you know, if there was a question about a divided locker room, it would appear that question has been answered, because this was a unified effort. Players, look at James Conner, how happy he was for Kyler. I mean, Conner had quite the day, 16 carries for 73 yards, 4.6 average. And that was, it would have been over five if he didn't take the knees on those, you know, goal line carries at the end. You know, what a baller he is, and to have him back in the lineup. But the most amazing part about yesterday was, you know, and I had written a post on Revenge of the Birds during the week where I was questioning Kyler's fit in Drew Petzing's offense, which in my opinion requires a classic pocket passer who can climb the pocket the way a Joe Burrow or Justin Herbert or Tom Brady did. And Kyler, if you know, he's not a pocket passer in that mode because he doesn't climb pockets. He throws from a spot or then moves off his spot laterally or backwards and around 65-yard run for a 13-yard spectacular first down like he did yesterday. That was just so classic Kyler. And to see him do that under duress and in that situation was just so electrifying and encouraging. And you know, the effort that he put into that and the creativity, wow, I mean, that was a signature. If when we go back and look at signature Kyler Murray plays, that's going to be included in the top 10. There's no doubt. Along with the ones he had at the Raiders last year in Las Vegas. I mean, and other ones, the Hail Murray, a number of the great plays that he's made with his feet that make Kyler so special. And, you know, with Kyler, the skills have never been a question. And I think now he's starting to answer. I think he got very introspective. And in, like he said, it was a humbling experience to go through this rehab. But I think along the way, I think he did a lot of, you know, self-reflection on how he could be a better leader, how he could be a more positive presence to his teammates, how he could be more reliable, all that, the maturity. And I was picking up on that during his press conference that he had during the week. Just so much more comfortable with the media, so much more articulate, so much more humble, kind of, you know, keeled. Matter of fact, you know, all of that was just very obvious to me that, you know, here's a guy I think has recognized areas that he could improve and bring to this new coaching staff, which, by the way, you have to at this point really give huge kudos to Jonathan Gannon, how he's handled Kyler. I mean, one of the great things, visions yesterday, is how they chest bumped each other after the, right before Prater was to kick the game winning field goal, and the kind of smiles they had for each other. This is really exciting to see. And it, you know, justifies the things that Gannon has been saying about Kyler all along, and the votes of confidence that Gannon has been saying in Kyler. And with Gannon, it's been a mixed bag. He says some things that turn out to be, you know, he said that 2 weeks ago that Josh Dobbs would start, you know, against the Browns, and said that he still had complete confidence in Dobbs. And then we know what happened after that. So it makes you wonder. Now, as people pointed out, coaches don't trade players. GMs do. Although in that scenario, I think there's no question in my mind that Kevin O'Connell had a conversation with Jonathan Gannon about Dobbs. There's no doubt in my mind. I mean, that would be the first thing you do. And those two know each other and have a relationship where they could do that. And I imagine that, you know, Gannon expressed that same sort of confidence that he had in Dobbs to O'Connell. And, you know, look at what Dobbs has done since he's gotten to Minnesota. I mean, he's really settled down his passing. He got his footwork right, which I was, you know, hoping he would do with the Cardinals. He got kind of sloppy with his footwork and it affected his passes. But I watched him in the play yesterday. That first half he put together was absolutely brilliant. And his throwing the ball, I mean, talk about tight ends coming up big. I mean, his throws to Hockenson, I think Hockenson had over 100 yards in the first half in that game. Kyle, did you see that game with Dobbs?
Yes, I did. I can tell you exactly what Hockenson's stat line was because I was playing against him in fantasy football this week. He had 10 catches, 128 yards, and one touchdown in the first half.
Awesome. Yeah, he was awesome. And Dobbs had that just brilliant scramble touchdown, too. He's on fire.
The first half was exactly what the Vikings hoped for when they traded for Josh Dobbs.
Right. Exactly. But our tight end finished with 131. So with Kyler Murray. So we're good. We're good. That, you know, I tweeted out one of my immediate tweets, which I highlighted on Reds of the Birds in a little morning article today, was I had said, you know, I couldn't help it. I said, do you, Kyler Murray, take this Cardinals tight end as your lawful wedded McBride? And then I had K1 saying, I do. So, boy, the wedding between those two yesterday was on full display. I mean, it's been a while since I've ever seen a Cardinals quarterback hook up with a tight end the way he did. And look at the emotion and passion in which McBride played and has been coming on. I'm just thankful that Austin Ford didn't trade McBride to protect Ertz the way he traded Josh Jones to protect Humphreys. And, you know, I've been saying during the week that Austin Ford has been shedding the Cardinals of Kime draft picks like an ecclesiast, like a stripper. Oh, my goodness. There are some guys that Steve Kime hit on that are really good. And I hope this puts an end to thinking you got to draft all your own guys, because McBride's a keeper. Zaven Collins, in my opinion, is a keeper. I mean, Marco Wilson has played better the last 2 weeks. Still making some mistakes, like the losing contain on that touchdown run to their star running back from Texas. What's his name?
Bijan Robinson.
Exactly. Bijan Robinson. It was a home game for him coming back home. Had his busload of family members come into the game. And he's such an electric player. I mean, we discussed briefly whether the Cardinals should have looked into drafting him because he was that special and he played great. But on that touchdown that Robinson had, you know, someone had to keep contain and the end crashed down, leaving Wilson as the likely candidate to to get contained, but somehow Wilson got sucked into the inside, and it was an easy just jog into the end zone for Robinson. So, and the Cardinals lost contain on the other touchdown to Robinson, where Jesse Luketta bit hard inside. On plays, when you're setting the edge, you have to keep your outside shoulder free. And in that case, Luketta did not. And again, right around the corner with no one containing. And it's the old expression, no contain, no chance. And on the flip side, the Falcons had their problems containing Kyler Murray. But that's a tough assignment for any team, as we can see. I mean, they were trying to do their best. They actually contained him on that the great scramble play to the initial side, but then Kyler, you know, did his reverse pivot, wiggled his way out of it, and then by then the Falcons had lost contain on the other side, so Kyler had a whole lot of open grass and was going over 20 miles per hour on a surgically repaired knee. Oh my goodness. It was just stunning. It was just absolutely stunning and beautiful football in action. I mean, exciting, the whole bit. The interesting thing too about Kyler is that he recognized after the game. I know, knowing him, he's still upset about missing Hollywood Brown on a surefire TD where he overgunned it a little bit. And then had Elijah Higgins not tried to run with the ball before he caught it. He makes that catch, and that was another great throw. Kyler would have been on the board with a touchdown, plus those added yardages would have put him over 300 for the game. So that was very encouraging. And some of the play calls, the waggles and the misdirections were so creative by Petson and plays we have not seen before this season that they were unveiling in this game. But what was really striking to me was how the offense transformed from being run heavy, ultra conservative, at the expense of ignoring the top wide receivers and not giving them a lot of targets, to pass hungry and pass heavy out of a spread, the kind of which we have not seen this season. So, you know, what Kyler and Drew Petzing have done is they performed a collaboration on plays that Kyler really is comfortable in. And it answered my question about, you know, shouldn't Kyler stay in the spread where he's been comfortable and successful all his life? Because now we essentially have the spread added in there. And in yesterday's game, it was more pass to set up the run than run to set up the pass. And the results were remarkable. And we were throwing downfield, finally. We're no longer playing into a 20-yard rectangle box. And it backed their defenders off. All the things. It just opened up the offense in ways that we had not seen through 9 games. And so this offense now is it's a collaboration. It's been modified. It's amazing to me to think that they accomplished this, you know, the orchestration of this in like, what, 12 practices? Because so much of it, the timing of what they were doing was very good. And the execution was very good. How about that play where Kyler bootlegged one way, faked the pass to that side, and then threw back. Who is it? To Wilson. That was awesome. I mean, so you've got the creative elements, you know, and then you had, how about them going into the up-tempo spread? Those were, you know, that was And then how about that great pass to Wilson down, where I thought if there was a laser across the goal line, even with Wilson's knee being down, I think the nose of that football would have pinged off the laser. I still believe that was a touchdown. Because the angle in which they showed the freeze frame, I don't think was exactly straight on. Could have influenced the decision on that. Nonetheless, they send Clayton Tune in on two key fourth downs. How about the fourth down going it way back in their own territory earlier in the game? Oh, my goodness. And putting Tune in to make that. And I have to tell you this as someone who has, coached that play and tried to run it as a high school player. That little pitch, direct snap pitch is not easy. It's something you really have to rep and get, it looks easy, but it's not easy because it has to happen so quickly. And it's gotta be pitched right on the money, which Tune delivered to Connor. And then, of course, then they did the tush push with Tune, who bobbled the ball. Oh my God, that would have been awful if you'd lose that on a fumble. But he corralled it, and then they pushed him in easily, and he made a nice play on. And to hear Jonathan Gannon say about what a bounce back week Tune had in practice, and how he was everything they were hoping he would be after a tough loss, and the kind of duress he was under against the Browns, it's a testament to his character, and it's so cool that they got him involved in the game and in two key situations. Clayton Tune delivered. There was a sense of team going on there that was really nice, and Kyler handled it graciously. He said, I was hoping Michael Wilson would have gotten in, and then but to have Clayton Tune punch it in, Kyler was happy. And I think he recognizes that. I don't think he's made to order for the tush push, although I wouldn't doubt it either. But I don't think you want to put that kind of pressure on his body this season or ever. I wouldn't do it when you have other options.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes got hurt doing the tush push, and Patrick Mahomes is not a small quarterback by any stretch of the imagination. Like, unless you're Jalen Hurts and you're squatting right. 600 pounds, it's not a good idea for any quarterback to be in that situation.
That's right. Yep. Well said. And so I'm happy the way the Cardinals had a plan, and the plan worked. It was well orchestrated, well thought out. What I loved about he looked decisive. For someone who's just coming back onto the field after all these months, he had great ideas of where he was going with the ball. And, don't you just love watching Kyler throw a football? I mean, the guy is just, oof. I mean, he throws dots with tight spirals. And, anyone who takes passes from Michael Wilson was saying all week was it's just a different kind of football that comes at you from Kyler. And it's a laser, and it's easy to catch, easy to triangle up. Just so fluid, and at times looks almost effortless, like the lobby through to McBride. He just kind of, he arced his arm and flicked it up there. And with good timing on that throw, that was a risky pass into what turned out to be double coverage, because when you lob it, the safety's going to have time to come over. And fortunately, McBride was the first one to the ball and made the great play on it. And, wow, what a... what accomplishment that was. So let's shift gears and talk about the defense. And then I want to talk about special teams. But, you know, the defense played really hard all game. It was interesting that we saw, and I tweeted this out, and that's on my little article, but I tweeted out yesterday on Twitter, was that the what the Falcons were running on offense was what Petsing was running for 9 weeks. It was run heavy at the expense of ignoring the wide receivers and some of the best receivers on the team. And, you know, but it was, they were making it work because, you know, Robinson was good. Algiers was good. They were getting a push up front, although our guys inside battled their butts off. I mean, Kevin Strong played maybe his best game. He had 5 tackles, 1 tackle for loss. Roy Lopez got dinged up, but he came back in. He had 5 tackles in the game. You know, kudos to him. That was huge. Zaven Collins had 5 tackles, playing the edge really, really well. And he had the pressure, too, that Ojulari cleaned up on. B.J. Ojulari with 8 tackles, 2 sacks, breakout game for him. That was really exciting to see. He's really coming on. Dennis Gardeck had a really fine game. He had 5 tackles, 1 sack. He's just such a disruptive player, and he's playing really well in pass coverage, too. Notice that play he made on the sidelines to break up the pass to Pitts. That was really exciting. Two of the pass interference calls, the PI calls, were both questionable. The one on Starling was really questionable. And then even worse, the one on Hamilton. I don't see how Hamilton interfered on that play at all. I think it was a poor angle that the official saw it from. And that was really unfortunate and a huge play in the game. You know, there were times on defense, they lost contain. That was tough. That hurt them, particularly in the red zone twice. But also, there were some funky line alignments where, you know, when the one where Heinicke ran the quarterback draw up the middle, they were playing like a wide. They're 2 defensive tackles over the offensive tackles, leaving the middle wide open. That was weird with 2 edge guys. That was really weird. I don't get that. Also, on a key 4th down inside the 10-yard line, and again, this has happened before, they don't put in a goal line defense. And the Falcons easily converted and then, you know, led to a touchdown. That touchdown pass from Heinicke to the receiver on the left side there, Scotty Miller. There's just sometimes the defensive alignments just are maybe too exotic or just not enough. I mean, you got a 4th and 1 and the Falcons are going for it inside the 10-yard line. It behooves you to put your goal line defense in there. So what I'm saying is that, like, the Falcons' left guard had no one over, you know, going hat to hat with him. I mean, that's he just down blocks. You're gonna get the or go straight for the linebacker. You're gonna get that hole every time. You're gonna get at least a yard, and so that was disappointing, but questionable as to what was going on there. And they will learn, and you know, I think Nick Rallis is doing a good job. They're coming on stronger, yesterday was a battle of wills, and the Falcons got some key breaks and converted them, and once again, it looked like one of those games where every time the offense scored, the defense surrendered it right back. And at the end there, it was demoralizing to think, oh my gosh, here we go. And can Kyler, you know, and turn it around, because the Cardinals' possessions in the second half were not good. And Kyler recognized that. You know, they had that one series with the penalties, and so, and there were like four possessions in a row that led to punts and not many first downs at all. So, but that's almost to be expected at this point in trying to sync up, you know, an offense for Kyler for 60 minutes. But the fact that they were able to gather each other, gather themselves, and Kyler assured Gannon that he was going to deliver on that last drive was just fantastic. And, you know, so timely and so needed. Because this has got to be the theme now, is finishing. And, you know, think of how these Cardinals seasons have gone. If the Cardinals can come out of this season showing that they can finish off games, what that's going to do for their confidence and their abilities moving forward would be monumental. So, you know, Kyler was already right after the game talking about Houston playing over there. Of course, he's a Texas kid, and he's champing at the bit to do his Texas thing. In Houston this time. So he's pretty excited about that. Be interesting to see what kind of level of energy and passion they come into this game with on the road. But I also got to give huge props to the Cardinals special teams. They were special yesterday. I mean, Greg Dortch, two punt returns for 56 yards, 28.0 average. That was going to skyrocket him up near the leaders in the NFL, I imagine. I don't know if there's an updated stat on that, which Kyle could maybe look into while we're talking, but on Dortch and whether he's up near the leaders now, because wow, what a great punt return. What a lift he gave the team emotionally. You know, we talked about Prater's perfect day, and then Blake Gillikin, three punts, 156 yards, 52.0 average. Booting the ball. And I think his longest was 54. So, you know, they were consistently good long punts with decent hang time. And just the special teams in general had, I think, their best performance of the year, a time when it was really needed. And so I want to know, you know, encouraged you are by this game. You know, mention it in the comments, DJ Mitch. I mean, I feel incredibly encouraged by this. I mean, you look at Kyler Murray and his skill set that was on display yesterday, and now the challenge is for him to sustain this kind of level of play this season strongly. But I'm very encouraged by this, and if you look at what we saw from Kyler in that game, I don't think there's any quarterback, even Caleb Williams included, in this draft and do some of the things that Kyler can do. You know, with his feet, with his arm. I mean, I put Kyler's arm up against any of the arms in the 2024 class. And if Kyler's leadership has evolved in such a way, and by the way, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this. You know, I'd been really skeptical of Kelvin Beachum playing left tackle, and he played his butt off yesterday. I don't think he gave up a sack. I don't think Paris Johnson did either. He had the one unfortunate grabbing cloth holding penalty that he's been susceptible to thus far in his young career. But I think the Cardinals bookends did Kyler yesterday. I've said all week, a quarterback like Kyler, offensive lineman, is the hardest to protect. When quarterbacks don't climb pockets, you now have to be conscious of, even if you steer your edge rusher wide, it could be into Kyler's, he's bailing the pocket sideways or backwards, like he usually does. You just don't know where Kyler is, and you know pretty much for sure he's not in pocket, because I don't think I've ever seen him do it. That's a tough assignment and adjustment to make. If you're a tackle, you just have to try to sustain your blocks as long and long as you can, and hope Kyler will make the right adjustments if the play breaks down and the rush gets to him, like Kyler did yesterday. Now Kyler ended up getting sacked twice, but it was both by linebackers on blitzes. So that's something they got to clean up on the interior. Now they had O'Connell starting at guard. I think he's doing a pretty solid job. I'd like to see them stick with him. Froholt had a rough patch there with a hold and a, offsides call. There were some of those issues, but that's, after 12 practices, some of that was, at this point, at least understandable. If not something you won't ever want to condone, but it's at least somewhat understandable and something that they can hopefully iron out for next week's game, and prevent. It gives something to them, something to focus on there. But just so exciting to win at home and to see the fan. There was not that great a presence of opposing fans. Everybody wanted to see Kyler, everybody coming to that building. They wanted to be a part of this, and it's just very encouraging that we saw the best of Kyler Murray yesterday in so many ways, not just in playmaking and in throwing the football and running with it, but in the way that he comported himself on the sidelines. I mean, this is a changed man. This is Kyler. It's Kelvin Beecham, said at the beginning of the year, and I think he said it in good faith, because I think that he has always had Kyler's back. He's just trying to tell him, look, this is what we need from you. Well, yesterday they got it. And if that's the case moving forward, then there's no question about, as long as Kyler can now stay healthy, and which is a big thing moving forward, and start evolving to where he's going to get stronger later in seasons than weaker. And a lot of that can do, with his poise now, and added maturity that he's shown, and the way that he galvanized the group, not just offense, whole team. His level of play elevated everything. That's very encouraging. And if the relationship between Kyler and Petzing is this collaborative and creative, that's very encouraging. And the relationship between Kyler and Jonathan Gannon, which is playing out, I mean, Gannon couldn't have scripted this even better. He said going into the game, "I don't have any expectations. I just want to be so happy for the guy who, in Kyler," because he said, "I've known and seen what he's gone through to get back to this moment, and how much he deserves this." Was a good way to kind of, for Gannon to approach this game, and Kyler laughed at him and said, "Temper expectations, huh?" Which is great. That's a really cool little refrain there. But that, if this if everything's evolving and moving forward in a positive direction, you have to, I think, look favorably on this team's future. And what they can accomplish together. It's not going to be perfect like it wasn't yesterday at times. But if the mindset is in the right place, if the practice habits are right and consistent, and the team's preparation is consistent, and the effort keeps coming, this is heading towards some very favorable outcomes in games. And I would make it a goal for this team to see how well we can start to finish games. As we saw in the first 9 games, games got away from them pretty fast in the second half. Only a few of those games were even close in the fourth quarter. Now, with Kyler back and the offense taking a next step and it becoming more wide receiver and tight end friendly, now let's see, as they did yesterday, if they can move to where they can close out games, be finishers. That was what was lacking in the Kliff era. And unfortunately for Kliff, it was lacking at Texas Tech too. And particularly on the defensive end in both cases, but also on the offensive end. They've got to find the way to put teams away earlier. And that's one of the things that I was arguing this week about offensive system is the ground and pound is, a romantic, but it also leads to closer, to more time coming off the clock, to closer games than, things up. I mean, there were chances, and Kyler knows this, where the Cardinals could have broken that game open yesterday because of the way they're getting mismatches the way that they liked. And I think with a golden arm quarterback like Kyler, and with the speed receiver they had, I mean, Rondale Moore had some speedy catches and racks yesterday. That why not make it a goal to try to, like they did in the Giants game in the first half, with it where they got conservative and went for field goals instead of touchdowns. Why don't they try to, try to light the scoreboard up and put teams away by the fourth quarter, like some teams are doing to the Cardinals? If they can reverse the script on that, that would be awesome. I mean, that would be a great way to come into the 2024 season, knowing you've got some confidence that you can not only close out games, but break them open to make it easier to close them out. Yeah. So I'm encouraged by all that. I mean, this game is such a relief. I was so nervous coming in and, that it wasn't going to go that well. But what I didn't know was the plan went into modifying the offense that we'd seen for 9 weeks. This was, in a few pieces, a factory of what we saw. I mean, it was opened up. It was, like I said, passer friendly. It was quarterback friendly, which it hadn't been for 9 weeks. And in this case, it was. And Kyler was able to get into a rhythm. And that's the key. I mean, with passers, Kurt Warner always said it. He said, I love running the football, but not at the expense of me having to, not get in a rhythm as a quarter. I always want to establish my rhythm first, and then let's run the ball. Let's, pass to set up the run. And I think in today's football, that's a better chance to win. It gives you a better chance to win. Unless you have a quarterback who's, not as talented, and you're probably a good runner and not as good a thrower, then makes sense to be more ground and pound. But when you have a quarterback who can throw it like Kyler Murray, I mean, to not throw it a lot would be, I think, a mistake. And make it as quarterback friendly as you can for him. So, Kyle, your thoughts? Want to chime in here?
Well, I'll take it in a direct. I have obviously Kyler Murray thoughts, and it was very exciting. I was in my living room excited when Kyler took off and scrambled on that 3rd and 10 and made a play happen out of it. That was pretty cool. But also, shout out to James Conner. He made a return, and he picked up right where he left off. 16 yep. carries, 73 yards. He had that one big carry that I think went for 11 yards or something like that. James Conner, great job coming back. Yes. That was kind of mixed into the shuffle of Kyler's return, is that the running game looks completely different with James Conner in there.
Right. And Conner's not a bad receiver either, as we've learned. So it was great to get him back. That was huge having him there, I think, particularly seeing his Amari DiMercato has been out. And the depth behind them isn't that great. So hopefully DiMercato can come back soon, too, because he was really playing great. And he's a great pass protector. Kyler's going to love playing with it next to him. Although the kid, Tony Jones Jr., pass protected pretty well. And he had that one nice run on a third down draw where there was like third and way long. But I think he got 7 or 8 yards out of that. That was fine to get a better field position. Yeah, wow, what a fun game. And it's going to make games so much more interesting and exciting, I think, as we move forward. I think, too, is it's so nice for players to get rewarded with the taste of victory. Close games, you know, what do they call them? Moral victories. In football, it's tough to say moral victory when you wake up on Monday morning, you know, like take an inventory on everything that hurts. You know, you play this game, you sacrifice in this game for so much for your teammates, for your fans, for your coaches, that, you know, moral victories get pretty actually demoralizing after a while, because you get so close, but it hurts so much more when you can't finish it. And feel that, what the Cardinals must have felt in that locker room after the game, the camaraderie, and the makes all the hard work worthwhile. And to have a taste of that and be rewarded by that. Every player in that locker room contributed to this. You know, it looked like the defense was going to give it up again, you know, on the late TD for Atlanta. Looked like Desmond Ridder was going to do that twice to the Cardinals in a year's time, as he did in Atlanta in last December, with the last second drive to win the game. But it didn't happen because Kyler Murray and the offense were resolute. They had no quit in them. They believed, they played hard, and they got it done. And that is a great, great thing to celebrate for everyone, and to know that you've got it in you now. The challenge is, can you build off of this and sustain it? And for those who were... I'll end the show with this. For those of you who were, you know, hoping that the Cardinals would still lose but play well, I had tweeted out earlier in the week that, you know, to those who were feeling that, that how unjust that is to expect Kyler Murray and the whole team to feel that the same way you do. To like suffer through losses just to keep a high draft pick. You know, Kyler came back and all he talked about all week was winning. And that's what Kyler wants to do. And that's what this team now wants to do.
And good news, the Cardinals aren't the worst team in the NFL anymore. Congratulations. They no longer have the number one pick in the draft.
So... And you know what? there are a lot of great players in the draft. So you don't, you know, I know, you know, you got some, you know, an elite wide receiver in Marvin Harrison Jr. You got Brock Bowers too. I think it'd be absolutely special. But now we have McBride. I mean, imagine Bowers on one side and McBride on the other. That might could have been back to the, you know, great Patriot days. You know, forget about the draft. I mean, it's more important for this team to learn how to win and to close games. Those guys they take in the third round with their three picks could be just as good as the guys they get early. This draft looks pretty deep at a number of spots. So, you know, don't stress that. You want what's best for the players, and losing is never best for the players. And let's will this team to win as much as they can. Let's help them build their confidence. And let's let the red rain shower down on them and on all of us, as it did yesterday in sweet State Farm Stadium, into the red, red sea. Red rain.